A very good morning to you. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis, and I'll be with you up until 2 o'clock today. Assisting me throughout today's program is Dennis Johnson, the technical operator and producer. We are going into a new phase, a different phase of this aspect of the pause or lockdown. As I understand it right now, there are quite a lot of lines out there at the supermarkets and wherever else people go to get stock up for the weekend, in light of all that has been said by the government in relation to this whole matter of trying to stem the spread of COVID. I wait to see the results of this because, I mean, I have such strong views on some of these things, and one point that I must make this morning is that for a long time I have sat and listened and watched as people talked about the relationship between business and the rest of Barbados. But some things have been happening in this country in recent days that have really brought to light a situation confronting our people that really needs to be highlighted. It is one thing to talk about keeping businesses going, but it is another when it appears as though you really do not care about the people who keep your businesses going. It has come through to me in relation to how business people at all levels, black and white, Syrian and otherwise in this country, have spoken about how we should be approaching the current crisis that we face. It is as if there is a separation between the lives that matter and the money that matters. It is my view that if in December the government had decided that this place needed to be locked down to stem the one, two, or three variants that we may have in this country, without the evidence of deaths and numbers, the business people of Barbados would have said, you can't do it. And what strengthens my view is the fact that for all that we see before us today, the numbers, the deaths, those in care, the fact that the facilities that we have established for looking after these people are overloaded. There are still business people in Barbados who put the money that they are to earn or their payments to the bank above the lives of the people without whom they cannot operate. I also want to draw attention to something that has been in circulation this week, where someone in charge of a company in this country has been overheard speaking to workers in the company in a most caustic a nasty manner. And there are those who want to justify it on the basis of things that have happened and the fact that they people don't seem to want to work, wants to get a job and that sort of thing. Look, I understand what can happen, but I put myself in that position. I've been a manager in this organization here for a number of years. And as managers, you make mistakes. But there's no way that anybody would accept me talking to any person in my company the way that that man carried on. It is unacceptable. It is the kind of behavior that actually manifests the underlying disrespect that so many people are carrying in this country for the people who work with them. That in turn helps to breed disrespect as well. I accept that sometimes workers do come with their own disrespect without having to be treated like that. But nobody should condone that behavior. When I pull all of it together, Barbados has a problem, a big problem. And COVID is showing up exactly where we are in this country today. You take down Nelson, but you have not taken down this behavior in this country. We have to work hard to try to change it. And don't gloss over it, because it is real. As far as I can see, there is so much more to be said today. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Robert.
You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the program. You know, there's a little bit of delay sometimes between the calls and my comments, but let's see where we go. Are you there? Or you want me to stimulate you some more? If you want me something to stimulate you some more, let me stimulate you with something. Listen to this exchange. This exchange shocked me.
I want to ask a question, and I want to split it between Dr. Best and Dr. Ford. And this is with going back to the variants that I was asking about. And given that we're not testing at this point for those two, or don't know that they're actually present, what can we then, how can we be sure that this spike that we've been seeing in both cases and deaths might not necessarily be attributable to the South African or the Brazilian variant?
Thanks a lot for your thought-provoking question, Wendy. One of the things that it's important to appreciate is that whether it's the UK variant, the South African variant, the variant out of Nigeria, or wherever, that the preventative measures that you take are all the same to stamp out the spread of that SARS-CoV-2 virus. It is entirely possible, theoretically possible, that we may have another variant. So I would have alluded to that when I said that we have plans to be able to do genomic surveillance and sequencing at the public health lab. So it's a great question. It's a good theoretical question. We will take the hypothesis into consideration going forward when we build the capacity at the public health lab to do that kind of surveillance.
Treatment for all three is the same?
Yes.
There's been it hasn't been demonstrated that AstraZeneca or the other vaccines are not effective against these in terms of those who get severe symptoms. Even in South Africa research where they spoke of AstraZeneca, they insisted that that for those with who had symptoms, there was obviously a reduction in the severe symptoms. The issue with the South African variant was that those who were asymptomatic, it didn't seem to really bother them. The vaccine didn't seem to make a difference.
What I got from the answer to the question was basically, it really makes no significant difference which variant you're dealing with. Well, I thought what I heard was that South Africa decided to go with Johnson & Johnson because AstraZeneca didn't work as effectively with their particular variant. We had a variant here. We had we had COVID here. And then we had the UK variant. And coming out of that UK variant, we have had a spike in cases and a spike in deaths. So, explain to me that it isn't really that important to distinguish as urgently as possible whether we have more than one variant in Barbados. Because all I know, I tell you, I took the jab this week. So it matters to me whether the South African variant is here or not. Because Dr. Fauci in the United States said this week that it makes a material difference in the United States, because if you take the AstraZeneca jab, as I did, and the South African variant catches you, then you can be reinfected. How could they come and tell us what they said at that news conference the other day? It don't make any sense to me. I mean, but I may be wrong. So, I mean, I'm not the only person with an opinion. So you all can tell me what you think. But, I mean, based on what I have been hearing outside of Barbados, I think, for me, it is important to establish as early as possible what we are dealing with. Whether all of these cases that we have had around here are all restricted to the UK variant, or whether there is something else lurking. And bear in mind this, huh? There's the Brazilian one. And the people in Guyana have been trying to find out what's been going on because of the border relationship. And we also have a relationship with Guyanese and Guyana. So I don't buy that kind of answer to this particular question at all. But that's only my view. And I always tell you, my view is not the only view. Anybody can challenge it. You give me your perspective. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing, David?
I'm well, and you?
Me, I worry. To tell the truth, I'm worried. Because what you said does not make a lot of sense. You don't want to say this. You don't want to say, but it has to be said. Had they listened, all of this won't be happening, no? I want to know something. All of those people that died prior to the nurse and the little child, I heard that they died because of complications on the land sicknesses that I had. My point is, COVID is what triggered them, and COVID is what caused them to die. So all the diabetes, the hypertension, the this and the that they're talking about, the important thing is that they died because of COVID. Only God knows the amount of things. Bram, the president of Bram, call us on this program. You, Dennis, talk about these things, but close them down this and close them down that. Nobody listen. Nobody listen. All they can hear after each death, we sympathize with his family. You know, and all of these different variants that they got now, and all these different vaccines, you just made a very valid point, and somebody needs to step into the plate and answer it. None of us is safe. And you know the strange thing about it? We didn't want to close our borders, but the people that we were welcoming here have closed their borders to us. And look at the price that we have to pay. And then you can hear people say, well, this is political. It's not about political. Any government of the day is responsible for their people. Any, whether it's D or B. David, I gone.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Good morning. You on the air? Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, welcome, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling about finding a Direct Express debit card at the bank. So I'd like to return to the owner if I can.
You want to say how the owner can make contact with you then?
Yeah, I could give the person name if you want on the card.
No. You know, you should perhaps ask the person who's lost the card to call you.
Yeah, well, let's do that. But they probably don't have a number on it, so I can't have a phone number, so I will not be able to do that.
You have a phone number?
Sure.
Tell us where you found the particular card.
The ATM at on the bridge.
On the bridge, you said?
ATM on the bridge. Yes, Scotiabank.
On the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. That's in Bridgetown.
Correct.
And if that person wants to get hold of you,
I left my number for you all guys if you want.
Okay. Leave your number with the producer.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good morning. It's 10:20.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Yeah. Someone sent me a WhatsApp with a quotation that goes like this. That God did not consider that when he created the world, that dumb people will have more children and the smart ones would not.
He didn't consider that? Who claimed? On what basis somebody saying consider that?
Let me tell you. So my reply to that would be, neither did God consider a world where all humanity could be wiped out in the blink of an eye.
No, so before you go...
greed and selfishness.
Ma'am, before you go there, please. Mm-hmm. You have to... You can't sit down and accept that reasoning to begin with. Because if you move to your next level, you're essentially saying, I agree with you. So where is that quote coming from?
Yeah, listen to what my reply was. Is that it? You got to listen to what my reply was. You there?
I'm listening to you.
My reply. I said, neither did God consider, right? A world where humanity could be wiped out by selfishness and greed. And, I mean, it seemed to me as if we human beings are the only species that like to self-destruct. Because if we do not, if COVID ain't teaching anything, teaching us that life is precious, I don't think in much more that would teach us that life is precious. So if there are people who think it like that, God help us. And I think that this COVID situation has gotten out of hand, and some of our leaders are kerfuffled. They don't know what to do, honestly, because this thing coming at you like a tsunami, wave after wave after wave, and now you hear about variants and things like that. And faith, hope, and love will get us through the situation. Faith in God, hope in the future, and to love each other and do what is good to help out each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much. There are lessons that are being taught. A significant lesson is one that I think I've heard the Prime Minister allude to, which is that you can't cheat COVID. And I think politicians are among the first to learn that you can't cheat COVID. The business people are learning that you can't cheat COVID. And we are all learning that. This is a country that people like enough shortcuts. Anything that you can do to survive and get through quickly. You know that song by Lil Rick, I Get Through? That's a national mantra for many Barbadians, I get through. But COVID isn't working with us like that. The things that you could massage people's hands and get done, or pick up the phone and use your family ties, or your other ties, and get it done quickly. For us in this country, let's realize this. COVID is a significant equalizer, you know. That's why I am disturbed by what I hear from business people, because they behave as though they cannot be touched by it. But we are all in a situation of vulnerability, all of us. And it is for us to, in the early stages of COVID, we talked about how nice it was to hear the birds in places where you never heard them in a long time, to see the sky in places that were polluted. And what a good thing it was for the environment. Yes, but we also have to stop and think about this phase of it for us in Barbados. And what it is really churning up about our national psyche, our approach to things. And ultimately, what are some of the practices and behaviors that are being exposed that we now need to sit back and start to reassess? At the individual level, it forces us to retreat into self. Because I would suggest to you that there's a high degree of loneliness associated with COVID, because we are generally people who like to go out there and interact and that sort of thing. So you can't do that anymore. And you are put in a position where you are isolated, really and truly, from other people. So these, to me, are the nuances associated with this particular disease. You can share with me what you see. To what extent do you agree or disagree? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Good. Well, I can see that you are kind of riled up today. But understandably, actually, this has been about 4 weeks now. I've been very unsettled, and I can't function as I was functioning last year. Actually, I'm in the process of dealing with books, and last year I was working well, but now this year, every minute something is happening that is very disturbing. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing about police stations being closed, problems in the prison. Just yesterday or the day before, one of the companies, I know many people at that company very well, 8 people in that company have COVID. Place has to be closed. One of the persons involved was a student of mine. Then there's a distant cousin of mine. He's in the isolation center. So it is not, it is something that is different from anything I have experienced in my life. I think the nearest thing perhaps was when we had Hurricane Janet. I was just a few years old. Then we had Hurricane Janet. We had to run through, got somebody's house, but it was quickly over because it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But this is the worst thing that has happened in my life. So I could understand. I've been trying to keep in my house, and I've done most of the things in here. I'm a social being, but even in that by-election, I'm going to talk about that. One of my friends called me, and he wanted my assistance. And he told me, yes, I can help you from my house, but I'm not leaving my house to go anywhere. I'm not past 70 yet in that area, but I took the decision that I'm not going anywhere, any crowds, in that by-election. And I think that perhaps if most people at that time had taken that attitude, people would not have become so complacent to think that they could be out there in their numbers. I like karaoke very much, but I have not gone to karaoke since, I think, probably March last year. But the country, starting from its leadership, was too complacent in dealing with something that was coming. A roaring lion was coming, and you were still playing outside and thinking that all would be well, because you can see it, but you can't hear it roaring.
And well, you know, you're a politician. You were a politician for some time. And yeah. I think that puts you in a very good position to appreciate the competing interests that politicians have to juggle. And if, especially in an environment where business people, let's take December last year. These hoteliers are a good example. They would have gone through the previous winter season was bad for them. They were starting to feel as though we were finding our way around this. We had gone through from March, April. We were able to contain the numbers and that sort of thing. In the meantime, we got the welcome stamp up there. We're saying, okay, we're pitching at the high end, okay, because we are COVID-free. They, on the other hand, looking at the bottom line and saying, look, you know, things are tough, and they've been tough now since the last winter season. We need to make as much as we can in this environment, and the bookings start coming. The bookings are coming. With those bookings coming, I believe that exerted pressure on them, and they in turn would have exerted pressure on government and other business people who get the spin-off of that would be eager to see it. But this COVID situation is different. This is something, by the time you see COVID, you're overrun by it. Like I already told you, it's like when you see rats around the place. By the time you start to see COVID, you have that problem. So let us recognize that that was the issue that they faced.